I'm Cole, and I'm a supply chain manager.
I'm Vicky, and I'm a wife, and I'm a mom.
Hi, I'm Jeff, and I am a husband, and a father, and a grandfather.
I'm Elle, and I'm a relationship banker.
I'm Jessica, and I am an elementary teacher.
I am Tiffany, and I am an organizing junkie.
I'm Megan, and I am a mom.
I'm Ryan, and I'm a dad. But I'm called to raise godly sons.
But I am called to trust God with the impossible.
But I'm called to be a teacher and a mentor.
I am called to be a child of God.
But I am called to educate parents who have children with major health issues.
But I am called to be content with who I am.
But I am called to share Christ wherever I am.
But I am called to be content in who God made me.
God has called you. There is no doubt about it. It is indisputable. There's no question. There is no variation from person to person as to whether or not God has called you. Really, the only question that is out there regarding that is whether or not you've accepted or responded to the call of God. Now, there's a general call of God. And that is that God has sent a call out to every man, woman, and child that they would know Him, that they would want a relationship with Him, that they would put their faith and their trust in Jesus Christ, His Son, who came and died on a cross to pay for your sins and for my sins, because without the shedding of blood, there can be no forgiveness of sins. And therefore, if we don't have our sins forgiven, we can't have a relationship with God either today or in the future or after death. And so we are eternally separated from God. And there's that general call that goes out to everyone. And then once you receive Jesus Christ, once you accept Jesus Christ, then He puts another calling on your life. And this is a specific calling. This is not for the person next to you. It's not for the person that you know. It's not for the person in front of you. It's not for the people in your house. It is for you. It is specifically designed for you to do something with your life, because God has called you to do something unique and specific with your life. And that's what this whole series has been about. The first week we talked about the uniqueness of your calling, and we went through all these different things that your calling is and is not. Last week we talked about the fact that God made you to love you. Part of your calling, part of how it makes your specific calling, and as you look at, there's some general things that we can all know, and one of those things that we can all know is that God made you specifically for the purpose of loving you, of showing His love, and then you showing love to others and receiving love. We have this desire within us to both give and receive love, and that's from God, because He designed you to receive His love. God made you to love you. Today, we're going to talk about the fact that you are called to belong to something. Now, what I find is amazing is that we all, whether we've repressed it or we try to ignore it, we all want to be included. In fact, some of the biggest hurts and the pains in your life are when you weren't included or you were intentionally excluded from something. And that's a crazy thing, isn't it? I mean, when you really break it down, isn't it so silly? I didn't get an invitation to X, so therefore I, for the rest of my life, am going to hate them, and I might just spike their punch with something poisonous, or maybe put a little bit of Visine in there and see them run to the bathroom on a regular basis. Because and we have this thing within us. If we're not included, it either makes us angry because we want to be included, or it breaks our heart to where it depresses us and it makes us feel like we're unworthy and unvaluable. If we're not invited or if we're not participating in it. And so there's this thing within us, just like God created us to be loved, God also created us so that we can belong and we can be a part of other things. Even the people that are the most individual people that say that they'd rather live, you know, out in the wilderness by themselves, when they're given the opportunity to be able to join something that fits their passion and purpose and their likes, guess what they do? They join in. I always chuckle. If you are one of these, I'm not bashing it, but just some things that just, you know, are really kind of funny to me. You ever heard the whole prepper movement, right? You know what I'm talking about? And they like store all sorts of stuff, and they've got like gallons of water with stuff in it, and they've got, you know, and they, you know, all this stuff. And I always chuckle when I see this, because the whole idea of preppers being able to be self-sustainable, and yet they have all these websites where everybody can join and be a part of their prepper movement because they want to all be, you know, self-sustainable and not have anyone else. It's like just weird, because there's this desire that we have to bond with each other. And that's something I think is from God. In fact, I know it's from God. And what God has and what God desires is that we don't just have this belonging relationally, which is important, but we have a belonging that goes beyond even our life and our lifetime. We're going to begin with this. Romans chapter 12, verses 4 through 5 says this: "Just as our bodies have many parts and each part has a special function, so it is with Christ's body." In other words, he says, listen, you look at your body, and if you're getting, you know, past 40 like me, there are certain parts of your body that are supposed to work a particular way that don't necessarily work that particular way anymore. I played sports all through high school and college, and sometimes I'll be walking, doing absolutely nothing, literally just walking, and my knee will be like, I don't want to walk anymore. It just stops for no apparent reason. And it hurts. It is not a fun feeling. And here's the thing. When a part of your body isn't working the way that it's supposed to, is it just that part? Like, am I going, oh, my knee hurts, but I can separate that from the rest of my body, so I'm okay. No, what happens is when that knee hurts, it's like everything within me. Bad words form in the back of my head. They begin to create sentences. It's amazing some of the things that don't come out of my mouth. But you know, it's just, as you're doing this, your body is all one part. It all fits together, and everyone does its part and does what they're supposed to be doing. But here's the thing. When one part isn't working the way that it's supposed to, the rest of the body is interconnected with that. The rest of the body suffers. The rest of the body hurts because of that one part that's out. I don't think Don's in here this service, but Don, our drummer, apparently fell this week and landed on his thumb. And so he came into rehearsal on Tuesday night and was drumming like this, right? Just one hand. And so there he is right there. Hey, Don, what's up, buddy? Show us your thumb. Show us the thumb right there. See? All nice and swollen and pretty. And boy, you don't think about your thumb. But boy, when you hurt it, that's all you think about, isn't it? Stupid thumb. You go to grab a cup of coffee, you're like, stupid thumb. You go to, you know, open a door, stupid thumb. You just, it's just this amazing thing that happens, because every part of your body is interconnected and woven together. It hurts if something hurts. And so the Apostle Paul is writing and says, listen, just like your body is interconnected, the body of Christ is also interconnected. Now, the body of Christ is a phrase, it's a metaphor that the New Testament uses for the church. It says, when you accept Jesus Christ, you become a part of the body of Christ. We're not talking about a literal, you know, physical body. We're talking about this euphemism, this metaphor for the church, the body of Christ. So he says, listen, just like your body is all working together, when it's working right, it's great, but when one part is messed up, it really hurts, but everyone has their own function and design, and man, when everything's working great, everything's great. However, the body of Christ is the same way. So each as we as individuals, and we have different gifts and different callings. However, we all work together for a common purpose and a common cause. And then he finishes this way. He says, we are many parts of one body, and we all, what's that next word? Belong to each other. You see, this is the cool part about when you begin to truly understand what it means to be a Christian. Because oftentimes in our world, we feel very, very alone. It doesn't matter if you know Christ or you don't know Christ. There are times when you can feel very, very alone. And what's really strange is that sometimes you can be in a room full of people and feel very much alone. But I want to tell you something this morning. And this is our big idea for today. Life isn't meant to be lived alone. Life was never meant to be lived alone. Life was never meant to live in isolation from other people. You are not to have this overwhelming feeling of hopelessness, of solidarity in yourself, of not being a part of something. God never intended that for you. Life was never meant to be lived alone. And when you connect with Christ, God says you become a part of the body of Christ. That's why it hurts. In fact, it's interesting in the New Testament, God says one of the things that he hates most is when someone comes in to the body of Christ and causes problems, causes division, causes people to be at each other's throats. Because he's like, man, that's the place where you should be safe. That's the place where you should enjoy the best relationships. That's the place where you should enjoy fellowship, where you should be encouraged and challenged and loved. Doesn't mean you just do whatever you want, but it means that, man, you're loved to be all that God's called you to be, because life was never meant to be lived alone, and the church of Jesus Christ is intended to fill that hole that is within you of that sense of belonging, that you want to be a part of something. And so this morning, I want to just share with you three things, three ways you can connect with the body of Christ. You go, I just don't feel connected the way that I should. And we've had people that have come here for a long time go, I just don't feel connected to anybody else. I'll just tell you, let's lay this out for you. You have to make the decision to want to be connected. This was years and years and years ago. They don't go here anymore, so don't be like, who is it? Okay. But a couple that came to us, and they left the church, and they wrote this, you know, little note that was kind of ugly and nasty, and they're like, you know, we just don't have any friends, and we don't do this, and we don't do that. And I'm like, you know, I sat down and I talked with some of our elders and some of our leaders, and I said, you know, what's going on? And like, they would show up, you know, in the middle of the first song, they would leave in the middle of the last song. They didn't volunteer at anything. They didn't go to any small groups. They didn't come to any events. And they were like, well, it's everyone else's fault because nobody else came and sought us out. Okay, here's the thing. If you come zipped up in a porcupine suit, don't expect hugs. That's just the way that it works, right? You have to be willing to be a little open. Now, here's the scary part. You've all done that before. And you've gotten burned. And I understand that. I understand that. It hurts. But here's the thing. If you really want to maximize your walk with Christ, you really need to get connected to the body of Christ. The first way you can do that is that you can connect with the body by accepting Christ's gift. You can connect with the body by accepting Christ's gift. The Bible says that until you accept Jesus Christ, you can never fully engage with the body of Christ. Because to be able to become a part of the body of Christ, you must accept what Jesus Christ did in his body on the cross, which was pay for your sins and pay for my sins. Paul writes it this way in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. For you were saved by grace through faith, and this is not from yourselves. It is a gift. It is God's gift. Not from works, so that no one can boast. I use this verse for a couple reasons. I think it's really important. If you've not yet accepted Jesus Christ, I want to just share with you, it's not about what you've done or not done. Some people say, well, I have to do X, Y, Z to be able to first accept Christ. No, no, no. It doesn't work that way. You will never, ever be able to do enough good stuff to get to the point where you can, on your own, accept Jesus Christ. That's what's so powerful about the gift of God's grace and the gift of salvation, is that God empowers you to be able to respond to the thing that he's already done. And so my challenge to you today is don't start looking at yourself and going, man, I'm so messed up. There's no way that God can love me. There's no way that God can accept me. The truth of the matter is that God already loves you. We talked about that last week. God already loves you. But the efficiency, the effectiveness of that love cannot be fully experienced by you until you accept the love of God. And the love of God is expressed through His Son, Jesus Christ, when He gave up His life on the cross for you and for me. And so this morning, if you've not done that, I would challenge you, and just in the quietness as we sit here this morning, just begin to ask those questions of God. God, what is it that you want from me? The other reason I use this verse is because I think it's really important that those of us who've already accepted Jesus Christ are reminded that it wasn't us. We didn't do it. You ever met somebody who has been a Christian for a long time, and they've gotten to the point where anyone that doesn't act, think, or talk like them is evil? You ever been there? You ever met somebody like that? And they begin to tell everyone else how wrong they are and how evil they are, and they, you know, they talk about it, and they post about it, and they do this and they do that, and they begin to look down on everyone else because they're not as spiritual as they are. That's when we need to go back to this verse and be reminded the only reason we have any relationship with God is because God loved us and God desired to have a relationship with us. It's not because we're so great and we're so wonderful. We can't walk around with t-shirts that says, I deserve to be loved by God, because we don't. But God loves us anyways. And so we need to be reminded constantly, if we've accepted Jesus Christ, that He loves us. Maybe even in spite of us, He loves us. And so we can't walk around acting like we're privileged and we're better than everyone else. We're not better than everyone else. The only thing that we have that other people don't have is that we at some point in time responded to the call of God. That's it. And so we should be careful when we look at others to not criticize or attack, but rather to love them to Christ, because that's what God's called us to. And that's what God wants for us. And so my challenge to you today is, if you've not accepted Jesus Christ, accept Him today. If you have accepted Jesus Christ, remember that it was because of His love, not because of your greatness, that God did that. So get connected to the body of Christ. You have to first accept Christ's gifts. The second thing is, you've got to follow Christ's commands. You've got to follow Christ's commands. What did He tell us, teach us, talk to us, challenge us to do? You see, Jesus Christ laid out a series of things that He wants each and every one of us who've accepted Him and His gift on the cross to do, to live. I know people are always asking, well, hey, you know, what is God's will for my life? Well, I don't necessarily know what God's specific will for your life is, or the specific calling that God has on your life, but I know there are some specific things that God has called each of us to. And He's called each of us to live like, and we are to live like Christ. We're to do things the way that Christ did them. Now, I'm not a fan of trendy things. I'm not a trendy individual. I kind of know what I like, do what I like. I don't follow trends. It just gets too expensive. But there was a trend way back when I was in high school to have these rubber bracelets that said WWJD on them, right? And then as I got in as a youth pastor, they became leather and iron stuff that you would wear, right? And then I think it's maybe making a comeback, I'm not sure, but some of you look very confused. WWJD means, what would Jesus do? And the whole idea was to wear it so that when you made a decision or you started to do something, you would see WWJD. And you would ask the question, what would Jesus do? And that would make your decisions. Now, okay, cool, whatever. Some people got that tattoo and they've probably regretted it now because they realized it was trendy. But anyways, the whole idea behind it is to stop and think, how would Christ handle this? How would He respond to this? And that's a worthy thing. I think when we make decisions, that's a wise thing to do, is ask the question, okay, how would Christ do this differently if He were in this situation? You may be surprised when you study and watch and follow and listen to the life of Christ as you read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, because Jesus Christ often responded differently than people thought He was going to respond. And so we ask the question, how does it look? What does it look like to follow God's commands? One of the things that we've done here at Friendship is we've kind of tried to narrow it down and say, you know what? We believe that a disciple of Jesus Christ is someone who is growing spiritually deeper, someone who's getting financially stable, and someone who's establishing stronger relationships, someone who's establishing those relationships so that they are relationally satisfied in what they have. We said those three areas are three areas that Christ talked specifically about and how we are supposed to live. And then Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 and 20, when Jesus Christ was getting ready to leave the earth and he had all his disciples gathered around. You know, sometimes the last words of someone are the most important words. And Jesus Christ's last words were these, "Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations." In other words, go and teach people how to follow me. In every nation, in every land, in every tribe, in every tongue, go and teach people how to be followers of me. That's what the word disciple means, to follow after, to live like. And he says, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching these new disciples to obey all the commands that I have given you, and be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of this age. See, it's so cool to be able to understand that there are specific things that God's called each of us to. And when we begin to follow those commands, the will of God, the call of God in our life becomes clearer. In this, I would say to you, if you've already accepted Jesus Christ, if you made that decision to accept Jesus Christ, yet you have never gone public with your faith in baptism, I would ask you the question, what's keeping you back from following Christ's very clear command in Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 and 20. The Bible says that if you've accepted Jesus Christ, the next step is to be baptized, to go public with your faith, to let people know. Now, I know some people are like, well, that's such a silly thing. I just don't know. Or, you know, my parents or my in-laws or somebody might get upset with me if I do that. Let me challenge you with something. Let me ask you a very, very important question. Is it or is it not a very clear command of Jesus Christ that when you accept Jesus Christ, the next step is to be baptized? Would you agree that the Bible teaches that? Then no matter how silly it sounds, if Christ has commanded it, our response is to do it. Our response is to follow it. Now, I'm not saying that God like goes, I'm going to put all the curses of the Bible on you if you don't do it. No, but I will say this. If you don't follow the simple commands of Christ, why would he reveal the next plan for your life? Just the simplest of things that God says, listen, take this step. And when you take that step, then God reveals what the next step is. So follow Christ's commands. And as you do that, you begin to grow in your relationship with Jesus Christ. So you connect with the body by accepting Christ's gifts. You connect with the body by following Christ's commands. And then third, you connect with the body by joining Christ's purpose. You connect with the body by joining Christ's purpose. Ephesians 2, 19 through 21 says this, consequently, you are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people and also members of his household. So he's like, listen, I'm going to use every metaphor that I can possibly use to help you understand what I mean by this. You know, you are brothers and sisters. You are joint heirs with Christ. You are citizens of heaven. You are this, you are that. You are a part of what's going on here, okay? I want you to understand that you are connected with what I'm doing, what I've done, and what I'm about to do. When you accept Jesus Christ and you begin to follow his commands and you begin to join in his purpose, then, man, something amazing happens. And he goes on to say, listen, I want you to understand this. He says, you are also members of the household built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets. Now you read that and they go, ooh, apostles and prophets, those are big fancy words. Here's what it means by this. The Old Testament was written by people called prophets. The New Testament was written by people called apostles. So what he's saying is you are to live your life based on the foundation of the Word of God. And when you live according to the Word of God, when you join in with Christ's purpose of the understanding, the teaching, the living out of the pages of the Word of God, that's when you begin to get more connected with the body of Christ because you are living the way and doing the things that Christ has called you to do. And then he goes on, he says, now this whole thing is the foundation of Jesus Christ with Jesus Christ himself as the chief cornerstone. He is the thing that holds it all together. That's one of the reasons that we talk about Jesus so much. He is the glue that holds everything together and the understanding of what it means to be a follower of Christ. And so he goes on, he says, he's the chief cornerstone. In him, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple to the Lord. And he throws in another metaphor, okay, just in case you missed the whole body thing or the you know, sons and daughters or the children or citizens, okay, we'll use building too. Just because, you know, whatever mindset you've got that you struggle, you know, this is what it means to be interconnected, to be a part of this. Here's what this means. When you accept Jesus Christ and you begin to live out your calling, you become joined with God and you become a part of what God did in the past. When you read Genesis through Malachi and you see how God worked, you realize that you are connected to that. Because as God worked in the Old Testament, He still is working today. And the God of the Old Testament is the God that we serve today. And then as you look back into the New Testament, you go, hey, you see all the miracles of Christ and how the church was formed and all those things. You go, man, I am connected to those people. I am connected to the church. The Apostle Paul, Peter, James, John, Timothy, Matthew, Titus, Philemon, all these people, I am connected to them through Christ. There's not some disjointed, weird, you know, branched off family tree. No, there's a direct line of what God did then to what God is doing now. So not only are you connected to what God did in the past, but you're also connected to what God's doing today. One of the reasons I love to hear about what God is doing around the world is because the same God that's doing stuff here is the same God that's doing stuff in Malaysia, in England, in, you know, Kuala Lumpur or something like that. I don't know if that's either a person on CNN or it's a place. I'm not sure. And what God is doing everywhere else, you are connected with that too, because it's the same God working in you that's working in someone halfway around the world. And what's so amazing is that when you join in Christ's purpose, even the stuff that's yet to happen, you are connected with that too. And so when you join in Christ's purpose, who you are and what you do lasts way beyond you last. It lasts way past anything that you could have possibly done. You want to make it even more personal? The people of the past that God worked through, you're connected with. The people in the present that are around the world, you're connected with. The people in the future, you're connected with, because God is working in and through you. You become part of something bigger than you that will last far beyond you. So what's Christ's big, hairy, audacious purpose? Ephesians 3:10. His intent, His goal, His purpose was that now, through the church, the body of Christ, you, that the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms according to His eternal purpose that He accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. In Him and through faith in Him, we may approach God with freedom and confidence. Paul says, here is what God's all about. Here is what Christ is all about. He wants the message of Christ to be shared to every man, every woman, and every child. He wants the message of salvation to be heard so that people have the opportunity to respond. He wants the church, and through the church, to show and teach who God is. But even more than that, what the word of the pages of the word of God teach to those. Because here's the thing, when you begin to understand what the Bible teaches, you begin to live that way, you begin to go ask the question, what else in there is true? And so our job, our purpose as we join in with the body of Christ is to share the message of Christ to as many people as possible. We do that with our words. We do that with our actions. We do that with our social media. We do that with our driving, with our conversations. We're to share and spread the message of Christ. That's what God has called each of us to do as we join in with His purpose. This morning, I shared with you the fact that the first thing you need to do is accept Christ's gift. So this morning, if you have never done that, I'd like to take just a moment and lead you in a simple prayer to respond to the call of God on your life. But I also want to challenge each and every one of you, those that have already accepted Jesus Christ, and maybe you're feeling disconnected. Man, if you've not accepted Christ, accept Him. If you have accepted Christ, start following Christ's commands. Start doing what He's called you to do, what you know the Bible has already clearly laid out for you to do, and then begin to join in His purpose in sharing the message of Christ in every way that you can possibly do that. And when you do that, you get connected to the rest of the body of Christ, because life was never meant to be lived alone. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes and pray with me? Father God, we thank you for those here this morning who maybe for the first time are hearing the message of truth and the message of salvation in your Son, Jesus Christ. God, I pray that in the quietness of this moment that you would just challenge, convict, draw their heart, knowing that they need that relationship with your Son, Jesus Christ, knowing that they need to be connected with who he is, but God, more importantly, with what he's done, how he gave his life on the cross to pay for their sin. And God, I pray this morning, just in the quietness of this moment, that they would pray to you, they would pray in their heart, in their mind. Just pray, God, I believe. I believe your Son, Jesus Christ, died for me. I embrace his gift of salvation, and I want to live my life for you. God, for those this morning who are followers of Jesus Christ, but yet they feel very, very much alone, God, I pray that they would recognize that there are some things that they need to do. They need to start living out those commands. They need to start joining in your purpose. And that, God, as they do that, the connection with the body of Christ would become more and more evident. They would realize more and more that they are part of something bigger than themselves. It's not just about them. It's about what you're doing in them and through them and around them. That, God, that they would realize that they are connected with the past and the present and the future of how you're working. God, you would just stir that in their hearts, and that desire to know you more. And Father, we thank you for this. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.